Less than a week to go until the start of the Major League Baseball season. What kind of a year will it be? What might be the big surprises? Well, let's find out as we turn to the GNM Family Market phone line and welcome back to the show, Matt Snyder of CBS Sports. Matt, good afternoon.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Doing very well. How about yourself?
Great. Excited.
Yeah.
They're starting the season a little bit early this year, and I like it.
Absolutely.
It means the World Series is over before November. That's always a good thing.
It's nice to finish baseball before the Thanksgiving parades hit.
Yes, exactly.
Well, what are a couple of the storylines that you're most excited about following this coming season?
I mean, the first thing that jumps out to me is that there seems to be a big seven, which is, if we go around the standings pages, Yankees and Red Sox, AL East, however you want to order them, Indians, Astros, Nationals, Cubs, Dodgers. It seems like those are the obvious seven best teams in baseball, and they were all in the playoffs last year. And then there's a big separation until we get to anybody else. There's always surprises in any given season. Maybe the Diamondbacks don't really regress as much as some people think. Maybe the Cardinals jump up in there. Maybe the Mets pitchers stay healthy. Maybe the Phillies take a big leap forward, stuff like that. But it really seems like there's seven teams than everybody else. And they're all, except for the Indians, in big markets. So you just kind of start to wonder, hey, is this good for baseball? Is it bad for baseball? I kind of feel like powerhouse teams is good. But I can see why fans in small markets would start to get a little antsy, especially coming off this weird free agency offseason. Another one is, you know, who are going to be the breakouts? I said the Phillies. The Angels had a big offseason. Are they going to get to the playoffs with Trout for only the second time? Are they going to finally win a playoff game with Mike Trout on the roster? It's just stuff like that, you know, kind of looking for breakouts. And then, hey, are the powerhouses really going to continue to be the powerhouses?
Is this Ohtani story with the Angels going to be a story, or will Major League Baseball find a way to fence in this guy and make him less exciting than we hoped he'd be?
Well, he'll be a story no matter what, at least this year. There's going to be a transition period, and it's going to be – I'm already, like, preemptively annoyed because I know if he gets off to a bad start, then a lot of people are going to react like he's a bust. I mean, he's 23 years old. He's never played anywhere outside Japan before. Now it's going to be a culture shock. Plus, in Japan, they only have one time zone. So he doesn't have to deal with it with moving up time zones, especially from the West Coast when they go on an East Coast trip. Body clock's going to be a little bit off. He's never had to deal with that before. It's a big transition, man, especially for a 23-year-old. So I'm expecting a slow start, probably with both the arm and the bat. He's been bad spring training. Spring training stats don't really correlate, but I think there's something there on him that you need to watch because he's transitioning. So I think he's probably going to get off to a bad start, and there's going to be a lot of hot takes about it. Like I said, I'm already annoyed. But he is a story. If I had to guess, I would say 3-4 years down the road, the hitting kind of goes away, and he becomes just a good frontline pitcher who, when he does get a swing the bat, he's a good hitter for a pitcher. But I don't think you can expect him to be all-star caliber with both the arm and the bat. In this era of specialization, I'm just not seeing it.
Is there any reason to suspect that the baseballs won't continue to keep flying out of ballparks at a record pace this year?
No. The Major League Baseball continues to say the balls are – they never say they're not different, but they say they're within specifications. And the specifications are pretty wide-ranging. Justin Verlander's been outspoken about it. He keeps saying, like, I'm not making it as an excuse. I'm just telling you, they're way different. They're slippery, tougher to grip. It's tougher to throw breaking balls. Especially once you get sweaty. So the balls, if you want to say juice, say juice, but they're going to continue to fly out of ballparks at record rates. And, you know, a lot of people that like watching the games on TV like seeing bombs. So it's not necessarily a bad thing.
You mentioned the Red Sox and the Yankees as being a part of that big seven. The Yankees, of course, made the splash early on. The Red Sox took forever to finally get J.D. Martinez there. Was that acquisition enough to narrow that gap a little bit between the two?
Yes, absolutely for me. I actually keep going back and forth. My latest prediction, I actually have the Red Sox winning the AL East, but the Yankees winning the American League. They're both going to be awesome. One thing I just think is funny is there's been so much adulation around the Yankees this offseason. And, you know, after the Stan acquisition and how good they were in Judge's year, and even Gary Sanchez is getting kind of underlooked there, it makes sense. you know, they've got that great bullpen. But then I look at the Red Sox and I see 93-win team from last year, didn't really get anything from David Price, and they didn't have a slugger in the middle of the order like J.D. Martinez. J.D. Martinez could hit 45-50 bombs in Fenway Park, playing half his games in Fenway. To throw him in the middle of that order on a team that won 93 games, if you get a full season of health from David Price. Now, the back end is a problem right now because of injuries to Pomeranz and Rodriguez, but maybe those guys won't be out that long. I just kind of feel like we got to the point where there was so much Yankees that the Red Sox were getting overlooked.
We're talking with Matt Snyder of CBS Sports. Are there some of those teams out there, maybe in that Big Seven, that are built perhaps more for the postseason than those that are built just to get into the playoffs?
Well, I'll go right back. Yankees, Indians, too, with the bullpen. The Yankees' ability to shorten the game with that bullpen, they have like four or five just absolute studs. And so you can do stuff like we saw Joe Girardi do last October, which is just totally empty the tank with David Robertson. And then, you know, going into next game, you've got a few guys you can lean on heavier when you can't go to Robertson. And we've seen it with Andrew Miller. He's still got Cody Allen behind him. Miller and Allen, if they need to in any given game, could combine for like four or five innings. So those are the teams you think, man, in the postseason, that makes them better, especially the Indians, because they have such a good rotation and the bullpen. So maybe if they have to shorten the game one game, the next game they can send Corey Kluber out and have him work nine, something like that.
What team or teams are destined once again this year to break the hearts of their fans?
I keep going back to the Nationals. I know they look awesome and their roster is so good, but that bullpen just feels like it could be volatile at any given time. They didn't go out and add another frontline starter behind Scherzer and Strasburg. Well, now, Scherzer and Strasburg, you can get four starts out of them in a series. That's great, but there's no margin for error. And you saw in the series against the Cubs last year, Kyle Hendricks out-dueled Strasburg, and that turned the series on its head. So I just feel like even if the Nationals do win a series, I'm looking at the National League right now, man, the Cubs are loaded. They might even be better than 2016. And it just doesn't feel like the Dodgers are going to go anywhere. The Nationals, again, really talented. But if you're asking, hey, they're going to break people's hearts, I just keep coming back to the Nationals until they prove otherwise.
People have been talking about the Seattle Mariners for years. They've made some interesting pickups. Do they make it into the playoffs this year?
No. And I hate saying it because I'm one of those guys, I love seeing droughts end. You know, even going back to the Red Sox, and you talk about Cubs World Series, but it's not just that. Like, when the Pirates broke the consecutive streak of losing seasons, when the Royals finally broke the longest playoff drought, then the Blue Jays broke the longest playoff drought, now it's the Mariners. But the rotation's so flimsy. You could squint and say if King Felix, he can't return to form. But if he does more like Justin Verlander and learns how to pitch into his mid-30s instead of relying so much on knockout stuff, he could get better. James Paxton's awesome, but he's never stayed healthy. But what if he does? Mike Leake's a good mid-rotation guy. They could get stuff figured out at the back end with Erasmo Ramirez. But then you look at the lineup. It could be potent now with Dee Gordon and Segura setting up for Cano, Cruz, and Seager, and Mitch Haniger. That could be potent, too. The bullpen, they got a good closer. But I feel like so much stuff has to break right, and I feel like they're probably going to be, you know, maybe they would have been a good answer for your previous question because they feel like they could get up into mid-80s and wins, and maybe they missed the playoffs by one or two games. I just, like I said, so many questions in the rotation and the bullpen in front of, why can't I think of his name right now? The skinny dude who throws like Edwin Diaz.
Yes.
The bullpen in front of Diaz, there's just so many questions, and you know, Cruz and Cano are getting up there in age. Just feel like if they could have lined up everybody's primes a bit better, then they would have had a better shot here.
We're in such a golden age of young talent in Major League Baseball, Matt. Who are a couple rookies that you think will make an impact this season?
Well, Ronald Acuna is the most obvious, the Braves' top prospect. They sent him down, but it sounds more like a Chris Bryant situation because he was absolutely tearing the cover off the ball in spring training. He's only 20, 21 years old. It looks like a five-tool superstar. If I had to guess, I'd say late April before he comes up because the Braves aren't contending like the Cubs were expecting to in 2015 with Bryant when he was only down for eight games. Maybe late April, maybe early May, but when he comes up, I think he's going to be a monster right off the bat. And to flip over to the AL side and the AL East, Vlad Guerrero Jr., I don't think he's that far away. He probably starts the season in Double-A, which means we won't see him until maybe halfway into the season, maybe not August, maybe just a cup of coffee in September. But I do think that you're going to see him come up at some point this year. And if you have seen any highlights of him in the minors, holy smokes. He looks kind of like his dad, but like more athletic. I mean, he plays third base. So those two guys could be absolute beasts.
All right, Matt, now, I need you to be honest here. We are not judging. I want you to know that right up front. Legitimately, what are you more excited about, the start of baseball season or the return of Daniel Bryan?
Start of baseball season, but, man, it was close. It was really close. I was so jacked. That was awesome. And it really was. Like the corner kick, that was vintage Bryan. It doesn't look like he's going to hold back. So I was really – I told my wife, like, when I played it back for her the next day, it was like I was sitting there with, like, the biggest, dumbest smile on my face.
And I have
so
to...
It's wrestling versus baseball, so, you know, come on.
I have to ask this, too, and I preface this by saying, as you may know, our station is owned by Stephen King, so you're surfing the dial, there are some regular season games on, and you come across Shawshank Redemption. Do you move back to baseball, or do you stop there?
Depends on what games are playing, depends on who's playing and if they're competitive. If I've got a bunch of stinkers, I'm leaving it on Shawshank all day long.
Right. That's a good answer. We like that a lot. Hey, Matt, always great talking with you. We appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. Enjoy the start of the season, and we'll check in with you as the year goes on.
Will do. Have a good one, man.
Thank you. It's Matt Snyder, CBS Sports, talking baseball with us here on Downtown.